I want to welcome those of you who are in our Refuge Worship Service, and I invite you to take your Bibles and open to Hebrews chapter 11. And if you're visiting with us this morning here at Emmanuel, we're in a series of messages from this wonderful chapter in the New Testament, where the writer of Hebrews identifies 16 men and women who are heroes of faith. And during the course of our study, we're going to take a look at each of these individuals, one at a time, to focus in on their lives and to see what we can learn from them. For those of you who are watching via the internet, Wartburg Watch, our friends Dee and Wanda, we welcome you to the auditorium of Emmanuel and encourage you to listen carefully as we look at a subject that I think is very important. I don't know if you wrestle with whether or not God is pleased with you. But if you're like the average person who grew up in a household always desiring the pleasure of mom and dad, always wanting to hear from them that you measure up, and if you never receive that and you've gone through life always feeling defective, maybe it wasn't mom and dad, maybe you got married and it happened with your spouse. If you're not careful, you will carry over your desire to please God in the same manner you have sought all of your life to please your family. And that's not normal. Because Christianity is so opposite of the way man thinks. If you're not careful, you'll fall into a pattern that is anti-Christian. This morning, I want to show you how God is pleased with you. And when you begin to rest in that, your day goes well no matter what happens in your life. We're going to examine the life of a man named Enoch. You probably know very little about Enoch because, frankly, very little is said of him. He is mentioned in Genesis chapter 5 and in the book of Jude and right here in our text. He was seven generations down from Adam, the first man. Back in the days of Enoch, people lived a long time. Genesis 5 tells us that Enoch lived 365 years. And he walked with God for the last 300 years of his life. And then he disappeared. He was translated. He was raptured. Now, I know that there are some who, when they read the first 11 chapters of Genesis, they scoff and they say, how can that be? It's a bunch of fairy tales. People don't live that long. That's just so silly. That's so stupid. Why do you believe the Bible? All I can say is, if you're a doctor or a nurse, you see the effects of aging and of death. And you know that death is nobody's friend. Even though we as graced people, we who know Christ, can have victory in the midst of our dying, death is not a friend, it's an enemy. It's the wages of sin. And the reason people lived a long time back in the days of Enoch is because culture had not grown as sinful as it is today. This morning, I want to show you how you and I can walk with God in an age when people want very little to do with Him. Hebrews chapter 11, just one verse, and then a portion of a second. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up. That means raptured. He disappeared so that he did not see death. And he was not found because God took him. For he had obtained the witness before he was taken up that he was pleasing to God. And now the infamous phrase in verse 6 that I hope is seared into your mind by the time we finish our study of this chapter. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The word impossible here is a very strong word in the language of the writer of Hebrews. You could add the adjective or adverb utterly impossible. It is utterly, totally, completely impossible to please God without faith. Now let's take a look at this text. This is the only person in Scripture that is ever identified as one who walks with God. What does that mean? I want you to see, first of all, that walking with God means living a life where you trust Him. Enoch was not some special person. He's just like us. Born a sinner. Born with a nature that was not pleasing to God. By his own virtue, there was nothing in Enoch that would cause God to like him more than you. He's just like you and me. But something happened to Enoch. Enoch saw man's inability inherently to be pleasing to God. Now listen to this very carefully, because this is where Christianity departs from the typical way that the human being thinks. Before Enoch was translated to glory, he had been translated in his heart and soul. He'd been regenerated. He'd been changed by the grace of God. And he'd come to an understanding that there was nothing he could do. There was nothing within him inherently that would ever cause God to be pleased. Now, if you're here this morning, you think, well, for heaven's sake, God must be a terrible taskmaster for him not to be pleased with what I'm offering him. You've missed grace already because you haven't started right. There's nothing within your life that will ever cause God to sit up and take notice and say, I am pleased. Nothing. Enoch knew that. You know how we know that? In the book of Jude, when he is mentioned, listen to what his life was like. Verses 14 and 15 of this one chapter book say this. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, began telling people around him, saying, behold, the Lord is coming with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against God. In other words, Enoch was very clear about the fact that every person is by nature ungodly, and a day of judgment is coming. But Enoch came to the place where he personally trusted the gift of righteousness that God provides sinners. Do you remember when Jesus Christ was baptized? The heavens opened and the voice of God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This same phrase was used by God when His Son was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the voice of God spoke to the disciples who saw Jesus transfigured. And God said to them, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." Akouete aton. Listen to Him. Enoch, way back, was saved, delivered, transformed the same way you and I are saved today. He saw his inherent inability to please God, and he trusted in a substitute, the Messiah, the Savior, the coming Redeemer. We saw last week how Abel brought his offering to the Garden of Eden, the offering of a lamb. Even from the very beginning, Adam and Eve instructed their children, and it was passed down from generation to generation, that you cannot trust your polished fruit when you come before the Lord. You cannot put your faith in your efforts to be pleasing to God. This was the message from the very beginning. You must trust in the death of a substitute. You must trust in a Redeemer, in a Savior, in the Messiah. In the Old Covenant, they anticipated Him coming. All the sacrifices pointed to Him. This side of the cross in the New Covenant, we look back to Calvary. And we no longer bring our lambs and our red heifers and our ashes, because we believe Jesus Christ has fulfilled the old covenant. Enoch believed it too. This is why Paul in Colossians 2 verses 6 and 7 says this: "As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, overflowing with thanksgiving for Him." Now let me show you how this applies in your walk of faith with God. I want to be very specific. To walk with God in the same manner that Enoch walked with God implies that you live your life daily trusting Him. There's nothing within your life that would cause God to be pleased. But you trust that He has provided for you His Son. And by faith you've received Him, and His Son's righteousness has become yours. You are clothed in it. And God is well pleased with you because of your faith. How this applies is, let's say that your children that you love dearly are making a long journey and they are traveling at night. And you're worried and concerned for them. What do? Well, you pray, of course. What is prayer? It's nothing but talking to God. You pray. But how do you pray? Do you pray over and over again, begging God to watch over your kids? Feeling unworthy to even ask, so bargaining with God. "Lord, if you'll just do this for me, Lord, I promise." Is that how you pray? That's not faith. That's works. When you come to an understanding that you inherently cannot please God, but by faith you trust in the righteousness of His Son, then you pray and you say, "Father, thank you that you love me, that you are well pleased with me. Lord, I give you my kids. Watch over them." The more you feel you have to beg God, the more you feel you got to barter with God, the more you feel you got to do something to get God to respond, you're not living by faith. You're living by works. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But let's go on. Let me show you a second thing very quickly. Walking with God in a life of faith has distinctive characteristics. I'm going to show you four of them. If you want to live your life every day knowing that you are well-pleasing to the boss, let me show you four things I think are true about Enoch and can be true about us. Number one, to walk with God by faith is to live with the realization of His presence. Philippians 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord evermore," and again I say rejoice. "Let your moderation in life," that means your appetites, "let your appetites in life be moderate and be made known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand." In other words, live your life with a realization that Jesus Christ is present. And He's pleased with you. So with the overflowing sense of gratefulness that Christ died for you, live your life in appreciation of Him. Second, to walk with God is to enjoy life by resting in His promises. You know the phrase, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path." You just realize that all of His promises are yours without caveats. All the blessings due the righteousness of Christ are yours without conditions. For by faith, you've trusted the Son. Third, to walk with God implies perseverance and pace, not a blazing race. Those of you who go through life from one recommitment to the next recommitment, from one rededication to the next rededication, you go to revival, you go to church, you listen to a preacher, and it's always about what you do, how many aisles you have walked, how many promises you have made. No wonder you are struggling. No wonder you are always stagnant. Walking with God is not measuring your journey on the basis of how fast you run. Walking with God is like taking the hand of a father as a little trusting child would. And you gingerly and tenderly walk through a dark forest as He leads you. Fourth, to walk with God is to make progress even when you stumble and fall. And you will. Enoch did. You're going to have marital problems. You're going to have kids who are in rebellion. You're going to have days of depression. You're going to have days when you don't feel loved or wanted. All of us will. You're going to stumble and you're going to fall. You're going to feel cold toward God. You're going to feel dead toward God. All of us will. When you stumble and fall, realize your Father hasn't gone anywhere. Take Him by the hand. Get up. And just keep on walking. But I close by showing you this. Walking with God in a life of faith will one day come to an end. This is what our text tells us. Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more. He was translated. He disappeared. This is a beautiful Old Testament type. It is a wonderful picture of what it means for you to die. You say, but now wait a minute. He did not taste death. He was translated. He was raptured. Yes, I know. This is a picture of all who walk with God by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But when you live your life in such a way that your faith is in the righteousness of Christ and not your own, you'll walk with God, and one day you'll be no more. You'll die. Let me show you three things about your death. First, the sting of your death is removed, utterly removed. This is what the Apostle Paul meant when he talked about, oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? When you walk with God by faith and you realize that you are pleasing to Him because of the righteousness of His Son, there is no sting in death. There's a Christian lady by the name of Marie who was in Aurora, Colorado with her two kids last Friday morning at midnight. Matthew was her 15-year-old son's name. I've forgotten her daughter's name, but she was 14. Marie was on the fifth row of the movie theater when the man begins to shoot. Her son runs out one way. She shoves her daughter onto the ground, and she lies on top of her daughter, and she sees the black combat boots of the man as he walks by shooting. And she writes in her block that there was an incredible peace that came over her. She said, I had trusted in my Redeemer. I knew where I was going when I died. And I was not afraid to die. I prayed for my kids. She said, I don't even remember what I prayed, but I was praying out loud. But she told her readers, I want you to know that I was ready. That's the sting of death removed. She made it out. Her son and her daughter made it out. 12 people didn't. I would ask you the question this morning, if today was the day of your death, is the sting of death gone? The only way it's gone is when by faith you trust in the righteousness of Christ. If I trusted in my own righteousness, I'd be scared to death to die. When you walk with God and you trust in Him, the sting of death is gone. Second, at death there's a translation from this world to the next. In the New Testament, it is the word departure. Now I know this point's not on the screen, but it's in your handout. When you die, there's a departure. Paul said it in the book of Philippians, I depart. It's the same word that was used for people who used to camp out and they would take up the stakes of their tent and relocate. It was the same word when a ship would pull up the anchor from one port and go to another port. When you die, that is not the end of your life. Oh, for heaven's sake, it's just the beginning. And in your next life, there is no aging. There is no dysfunction. There is no sin. There is no death. There is relationship, fellowship with family, with friends, with Christ, the way we were designed to relate to one another. Oh, my word. We cannot imagine. In fact, it's hidden from us with a veil because too many of us would check out of this life to get there. Third, after death, there is the receiving of great rewards from the God in whom you have believed. Now, I don't have time to get into this, and you can disagree with me all you want, and you have every prerogative to be wrong. But when you see your Lord, your rewards will be based upon the obedience of Christ. Your rewards will be received because of Christ. This is why in the parable of the vineyard, when Jesus hired the ones in the early morning, and then he hired people, he's the owner of the vineyard, he says later, He hires people at the end of the day to work in his vineyard. They all come at the end of the day and they're paid the same wages. The people who were paid the same wage for working the entire day, from being hired early in the morning, began to complain. And they said, now wait a minute, should we not receive more than those who worked an hour? And Jesus, the owner of the vineyard, said, it's all of grace. Why do you complain? I tell you why people complain. It's because they've lived their lives thinking they've got to perform to be pleasing to God. You say, but Pastor, I want to perform. Oh, I know that. I know that. That's not what we're talking about. Listen to me. I'm a perfectionist. I want to be the best pastor, the best husband, the best father, the best person I can possibly be. I fail all the time. But you know what? When I fail, it doesn't bother me in terms of my relationship with God. Because I know my blessings are based not upon my ability to perform to my expectations. They're based upon Christ. So we're not talking about performing because we want our lives here to work out well. We're talking about living our lives knowing that the boss is pleased and we just relax. And the only way you do that is to live a life like Enoch. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Where is your faith today? Is it in yourself or is it in Christ? Oh, I hope this week, every day will be fresh and exciting because you apply the principle of living by faith. Let's pray together. Father, thank you.